Well, I think the change came from Bob McDonald. I mean, when he became secretary, he was talking a completely different story than what had been heard before and was making an emphasis that we're here to serve veterans. I had come back from a successful time in the Philippines, thought I had retired, saw him, and was very moved by what he was saying. And I said, you know, I want to be part of this. I'd like to be, you know. So he ended up calling me after he got my resume, and I said, give me the hardest thing you got, and let me just help you. Because I could complete his sentences. I mean, everything he was talking about was starting from customer, which has, again, been my background. And so, but I had no clue when I came in as to what that meant in terms of a Veterans Experience Office. What is it you, how do you work with these massive administrations? And if you're a consultancy, you're only a consultancy if you have clients. And so they have to understand that we have, that we can help them and we can do something, help them to improve the veterans' experience. So it's been kind of 8 months of figuring things out. What is it we need to build? What would the organization look like? We're going through right now the hiring process, which in government takes obviously a lot longer than what I'm used to in the private sector. There are others. I mean, Scott Blackburn came in from McKinsey, recruited by the secretary. So he's brought in. Dr. Shulkin has come in from the outside now. And I think when you're coming in from the outside, you have a total different perspective, and you're asking questions that perhaps weren't asked before because you don't know. And in many cases, when you're asking somebody a question, you're realizing, okay, the process that we're doing right now isn't law, it isn't regulation, it isn't policy, it's just, you know, how people have been doing things. And when you share what the impact is on the customer, they're quite willing to change, you know, how they're approaching it. But that hasn't been the default before. Of every single thing I do, how does this impact the customer? How does this impact our veterans? And as people start asking that, and I'm hoping that the human-centered design piece, because there's a lot of talk about the lean approach in Six Sigma, but unless you're tying that to an outcome that the veterans are looking for, it's not as useful.
Now, you're not only new to the organization, but your whole role is new, and the VA is one that has been under a microscope. Employees are feeling wounded right now. How are they reacting to you?
You know, in the frontline employees, I get along great. I love getting in the field. I love talking to the MSA, to the clerks, to the schedulers, the ambassadors, the security guards. I really get energy when I'm in the field. And I think they're the ones that get it, and they're the ones that really would like to do better. And when we're bringing in this new approach, so an assessment of somebody coming in, do they have a bias toward empathy, toward compassion? Would they make a good customer service person? Nordstrom talks about, you know, hire nice people. So in changing a culture, it has to be done facility by facility. You're not going to boil the ocean. You're not going to change 1,700 locations at once. It'll be facility by facility, and it'll be the employees in that facility deciding, we are going to be the best. We are going to achieve this. This is our facility. This is our family. These are our customers, our veterans. And so as we start to introduce some of these tools, it still has to be executed, implemented by them in the facility. It can't come down as a dictate saying, okay, we want everybody on Monday morning to be wearing red jackets. You know, it's the emotional piece that you're trying to get from the employees. What you're trying to standardize in a service business is the routine, but you want the personality of the employee to come through so that they're able to be themselves and develop a relationship with a customer. You don't want robots who are doing the same thing. You want them to understand what the minimums are, but give them the freedom then to engage themselves to build that relationship.
You came from the restaurant industry. Explain why focusing on making employees more satisfied and engaged at work actually helps the ultimate customer, of course, in this case, veterans.
Well, if I use the example, because we spent several days in Seattle with Starbucks, and you know, their employees are called partners. Disney's are cast members. Ritz-Carlton is ladies and gentlemen. USAA is associates. All of the employees in Cleveland Clinic are now called caregivers. So if I'm at the desk and I'm a scheduler, but my title is caregiver, I'm going to have a different view of what my role is, what my job is, than if you tell me I'm a scheduler. And if I'm a scheduler, a customer is an interruption. If I'm a caregiver, a customer is who I'm here for. I mean, that's why I'm here. So it's the focus on the employees is clearly the biggest thing we have to do. And one of the things that we've been working with the HRNA is the employee measurements to get those more frequently. Starbucks has a question when they're asking their employees, did we live up to Starbucks values today? And that's just one question. Actually, for their customer satisfaction, they only have one question. So they can tell just by the nature of that trend, are things going well, going poorly? And as I said, if you've got high employee satisfaction, you're going to have high customer satisfaction. So it starts with the employees, and it's actually, I spent the first months really focused on veterans, but then you realize pretty quickly that the game is here with the employees. How do I change this dynamic now? And in some cases, you've got bad processes that are producing bad widgets. Most of our employees understand that they're not taking care of this veteran, and they're feeling stymied because they feel this is their rules or this is what they're supposed to do, or they can't leave their station. And so one of the things you're trying to get to, I called it the courage of common sense. How do you give them permission to do something when they know that's what's right for the veteran? And if they've done something for the veteran in commission, that's far better than omission and not having done something, and reward them for having taken that risk to do something. I mean, what would prevent the employees from going outside on that parking lot to bring that veteran in, bringing a wheelchair out there? There were some rules in place that impacted their behavior. So with our veteran experience teams in the field, we'll be trying to identify those items and say, is this local or is this systemic? Is this something that we need to do on a VA level, or is this particular facility? So there isn't one size fits all. I mean, it'd be nice to say that. At least we have to have the same standards of what a veteran should expect. They should get a minimum level of care in Boston as they get in Orlando. There may be some wrinkles to it, but instead of local adaptations, but as a minimum, this is what they should get when they come into the facility.